Good evening, readers and listeners. Tonight we have Keitha Smith on board again. Welcome back, Keitha.
Thank you.
She's the novelist who's written 4 novels. The last one we talked about was The Tender Conflict and several others. And she's also written a non-fiction book called Mothering Heights, a novel approach for Christian mothers. And tonight we'd like to have a chat about that one.
That'd be great.
So tell us about Mothering Heights, how it came about.
Okay, so I had been writing my fiction works, and I had written a couple of those, and yeah, all of a sudden I just had this idea to write a Christian book for mums. I've got 2 children myself. They're getting a bit older now. My daughter is just about to turn 20 and my son is 17. But when they had been smaller, preschool, I'd been involved in a Bible study group for mums with preschool children. And one of the things that had happened to me along the way was that my son has got autism, and his autism is not super severe, but it's not mild either. He's probably somewhere in the middle. But certainly when he was a young boy, he was just a total little wild thing.
Right.
So life was kind of quite stressful. Although in, you kind of see that more in retrospect looking back. At the time, you've just got what you've got in front of you and you get on and deal with it. But one of the things that really came through to me over those few years was the whole subject about expectations. Because if your child does not make their sort of expected milestones, and mothers are always looking out for them. Is your child doing this? Is your child, what, you know, it becomes almost like a little competition. If your child fails to meet those milestones, what does that actually mean? Does that mean that they're not a worthy person, or what's their value or whatever? And so I had been pondering on this whole sort of idea of expectations. And then all of a sudden I just had this idea for Mothering Heights, a book for mums that really was basically how to make the most of your motherhood experience without driving yourself crazy.
Right.
Yeah. So I actually had the idea for the book all at once. I just, yeah, it was just weird how it all sort of came to me.
Now, I read it, Mothering Heights. I picked it up at the library. I'm not a mother myself, but I do look at parenting books and books on relationships and things for our church library.
Yes.
So I thought, oh, this might be a good one to put in there. And, yeah, it does, well, the interesting thing about this book, it's not like a what to expect when you're expecting, like, a pregnancy book.
No.
No, it's more sort of wisdom for mothers before they, I don't know, even before they even pregnant.
Yeah, it's kind of like a little bit of a mix, because there's some stuff at the beginning about really, I think, going into motherhood with, you know, some realistic ideas, but also with having some intentional thoughts as well.
So the intention thing is interesting, because many mothers become mothers unintentionally.
That's true, very true.
And sometimes that's not very good for the child in terms of perhaps feeling a bit unwanted by the mother. They pick that up.
Yeah, I think, you know, the majority of people who find out that they're having babies unexpectedly may have a period of time to kind of come to terms with the idea. But most mothers, I think, once they actually have their babies,
they do learn to love them. And,
Well, I think, you know, not even learn to love. I think, you know, it's kind of a quite instinctual thing.
It?
You know, it's pretty hard to look at that cute little face and feel otherwise, I think.
I don't know. I'm just thinking of people in other circumstances where the mothers, maybe they're not prepared. Or if they have a lot of children at once, it gets overwhelming.
Yeah.
So, because I'm the second daughter.
Yes.
And then my mother had two boys, twins, after me, and I was only two. And so she had, like, four children under, five?
Yeah, so that would have been very busy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And her grandparents, well, they were in another country.
Yeah.
All my grandparents and, you know, and her sisters weren't around. So it would have been not ideal.
Well, motherhood's busy, that's for sure. It's a bit of an underrated occupation, I think. You know, a lot of people, especially these days, I think, where so many people just really have to go back to work.
Mm.
Motherhood as, an institution or a profession or whatever is not always as esteemed as it could be.
Well, I never thought growing up that what do you want to do when you grow up? That I never said I want to be a mother.
No.
And girls these days don't really say that. They're not trained or have... Many just don't think, oh, mother.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And I thought I'd just share, because I'd like to read an extract.
Yes.
From your introduction, and just share your thoughts on it. So the introduction, Mothering Heights. Now this Mothering Heights has some quote from Wuthering Heights.
Yes.
It says, I've dreamt in my life dreams that have stayed with me ever after and changed my ideas. They've gone through and through me like wine through water and altered the colour of my mind. Catherine Tonelli in Chapter 9. So what did you dream of becoming when you grew up? Imagine this scenario as the culmination of your dream. Right, the career advisor says, I think we've found the perfect role for you. I'm pleased to tell you that the starting hours are flexibly set at 24 hours per day, 7 days a week. The role involves, well, let's just call it research, shall we, in the field of child psychology and human development. A bit like being involved in a lifelong case study group, you might say. You said you wanted a challenge. If the amount of items here on the job description, there appears to be plenty to be had from this career choice. The successful applicant will need reliability, tenacity, excellent negotiation skills, a good sense of humour and unending stamina. An ability to work unsupervised is an advantage, as is the ability to cope with change. Job title is, of course, known as mother. Remuneration is largely on a you-reap-what-you-sow basis. Interested? You are? Well, congratulations, the job is yours. So it goes on to say, with a summary of motherhood like this, one would wonder at anyone aspiring to the role. Yet in spite of the demands and challenges, millions of women worldwide embark each year on the adventure of fulfilling the dream of motherhood. Yeah, so I just thought I'd share with listeners some of your introduction.
Yes, yeah. But it's true though, isn't it? You know, when you actually sort of boil down the job description of mother, it doesn't actually sound very good, does it?
No pay. I mean, we'll reap what you sow. 24 hours on call.
Yeah. But I think, you know, it's especially true when your children are very small because, you know, the demands of babies are great.
First few months or the first year of being a mother is very full on.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's one thing you sort of discover quite early on is just the slight relentlessness of it. Like if you feed a baby, you can't think, oh, well, that's it till tomorrow. We'll do that again tomorrow. Oh, no, it might be 2 hours and then you've got to do it all over again. And and so, yeah, there is a bit of relentlessness about it at the beginning.
Yeah.
But things get easier and, you know, as kids grow, they gain more independent skills.
Yeah, they don't stay babies forever.
No, they don't. They don't.
And eventually they may want to leave, which is sad.
Yeah, depends on how long they've been home. Like, let me have you back.
Your book has an interesting approach to motherhood because it mentions all these novels. Like there are 9 chapters and each one has the title of a novel and a quote from the novel, just with the theme of that novel running through it. And so I'll just read out the list of novels that you've got here.
Yes.
So chapter one is Treasure Island. Chapter two is Pride and Prejudice. Chapter three is Great Expectations.
Yeah.
Four is Much Ado About Nothing. Five, The Portrait of a Lady. Six, The Good Companions. Seven, A Room with a View. Eight, Sense and Sensibility. And nine, The Pilgrim's Progress. So, not all of them are novels. Much Ado About Nothing is a play.
Yes, it is. That's right, Shakespeare.
But they're all sort of classic.
That's right, they're classic
literature. Yeah. So, what gave you the idea to link those in to motherhood?
Yeah, I think the use of the books is less about what's in the book and more about just the theme of the title. So, for instance, Treasure Island, which is the first chapter, it's all about the fact that motherhood is brings with it quite a bit of treasure because of the preciousness of your children.
Yeah.
But it's also quite isolating, or it can be, if you're home with your kids a lot. And also, as I was talking about before, sometimes mothers are not esteemed. Yeah, there's some, what we did was, because I have a co-author for the book. And so Susan Brereton, who's my co-author, she and I were both involved in the same Bible study group, and she has a real heart for mums with preschool children.
Yes.
And so what we did was we asked a group of women to answer some questions, because I had my ideas and knew what I wanted to put in it, but you want to have things in there that is common for everyone, so that it's not just my ideas in there.
Right,
And so the book is full of little quotes from the people who answered the questions. So in the chapter of Treasure Island, there's some little stories about the way in which mums were made to feel belittled, because when somebody asked them, what do you do for a job, and they said, I'm a mother, they were sort of almost dismissed out of hand as, you know, well, that's not very interesting. And so, yeah, I think it's all about the fact that if you're really going to do a good job with motherhood from your own perspective without driving yourself crazy, you really do have to be intentional about what you do.
Yes.
And so have in mind that you know what the value of it is, no matter what sort of external sort of criticism or, lack of embracing that you might receive.
It's a kind of essential thing.
Yeah, and so, for instance, also chapter two, which is Pride and Prejudice, is about how we come to motherhood with a degree of both. So often when you're thinking about becoming a mother, or you've just observed people parenting, you will have picked up things and thought, oh, I'd never do that, or I'd do it this way, or I'd do it that way, and how could they let their children do this or that? But, yeah, you still soon discover perhaps why they do those things because of just the, you know, the difficulty of dealing with small people who, you know, can't necessarily be rationalised with, and you get tired.
Yes.
And then also I think you also come to motherhood with a degree of prejudice. So depending on how you were raised, you might have liked that or you might not have liked that. And so you might try and emulate what you had, or you might try and compensate for it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you overcompensate. You know, people who were smothered then, you know, step away from their children because they don't want their children to have that same experience they had.
Yeah.
And so it's just really, I guess, thinking about some of those things. And essentially I would say that's what Mothering Heights is. It's a not do this or do that. Yeah. It's not a prescriptive book at all.
No.
It's a think about these things
book. Think about it.
Yeah, just think about these things and how by thinking about it you can actually make your experience so much richer.
So, Kiefer, I've noticed that the titles of your chapters are titles of novels. Like the first one is Treasure Island and then Pride and Prejudice. So tell me about that.
Yeah, and so the third chapter, Great Expectations, is what I was talking about before, about the whole subject of expectations and, you know, how you can actually set yourself up for failure by having the wrong or too high expectations.
Yeah. I was thinking of how you said, well, your son was diagnosed autistic and of course wasn't reaching the milestones that someone who wasn't.
Yes.
Because I had been reading some books by parents who had autistic children.
Yes.
And one was by a dad, and it was called My Son's Not Rain Man.
Yeah.
Yes. And one was by a mother called Awakening Ashley. So one was a boy and one was a girl and yeah. one was a mum and one was a dad. So it's interesting yeah. to compare their experiences of raising an autistic child.
Yeah, and I think the thing is that it yeah. is a spectrum disorder, and yeah. so technically there's no two people no, with autism the same.
Not the same.
No.
But still sort of the same difficulties or expectations presented themselves.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my child can't do certain things that she would normally be able to do.
That's right. So my son, he's 17, and he still has no conversational speech. He's got a lot right. of language, but you can't just sit down and have a conversation with him. And so, yeah, you know, that presents its little problems.
Mm.
But actually not perhaps as many as you might yeah. think, especially with the amount of language he does have.
Yes.
And he's funny. He's yeah. very
hilarious.
Funny.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, what I got from the Rain Man, My Son's Not Rain Man book, was how funny it could be
yeah,
just
yeah.
observing and being around, interacting with, you know.
Yeah.
And but the Awakening Ashley one, the mother went to great lengths to find all these therapies for her daughter.
Yes.
And looked into diet and
yes.
like listening therapy, which she said it helped and worked. But I can imagine how expensive all those therapies
yeah, they
would
are.
Have been.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've done lots of stuff ourselves.
Yeah.
Yes, we're still at it, trying
yeah.
to, you know, find little ways to help him improve.
Yeah. It was kind of amazing how many different ones she tried.
Yeah.
Like how many doctors she went to.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you want the best for
yeah,
your children.
You do.
And, you know, if there are things that are going to make a difference
yeah.
and make their life easier,
yeah.
Not just yours, theirs
yeah,
as well,
theirs. Yeah.
then, you know, I think you really just
yeah.
leave no stone unturned,
yeah.
you know, if you can dredge up the money.
Yes.
You know, it's good to try things.
Yeah. Hmm. And so Much Ado About Nothing, was that the theme was relaxing or? No.
Much Ado About Nothing is actually the most Christian chapter that's in the book. And so it's really all about your relationship with Jesus and just, you know, living a life that's in tune with him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that kind of other element of motherhood, I guess.
Yes, and then Portrait of a Lady mentions some of the mothers in the Bible.
Yes, just looks and compares with the different
like
approaches.
Sarah, Rebecca, and Mary.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Mary's the sort of standout mother. The other two really tried to sort of manipulate things
yes.
for their children
yeah.
or for having children. Whereas, yeah, Mary's attitude was pretty amazing, really.
Well, she just accepted.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't kind of, oh, no, I'm going to have the Son of God.
Yeah.
Help. Or if she may have felt, like, overwhelmed, she kept it to herself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just trusted, I think. There's a lot of element of trust
yeah.
in motherhood.
Whereas a chapter like Sense and Sensibility is a whole pile of accumulated tips, I suppose, and advice from our group of mothers that we used for our case studies. So we asked them what their sort of top tips were in lots of areas of life, and so we summarised all their advice all in one go. And, you know, not everything will work for every person, but sometimes all you need is a fresh idea.
Yeah. Well, there is a lot of list of books here to read. In your book, Mothering Heights Keeper.
Yeah.
I haven't read them all, but
no, I've read most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all very enjoyable.
You got two sources. Jane Austen.
Oh, yes. You have to have two Janes. I'm a big fan of Jane Austen.
And then you've got The Pilgrim's Progress and Good Companions, which I haven't really heard of, but they're all good books, all classics, as themes for your Mothering Heights book. And just talking about books, have you been reading anything lately that stand out?
Well, actually, at the moment, I'm reading a whole pile of writing magazines. There are some UK magazines that a friend's lent me, and they talk about different writing skills in different areas and also about what's going on in the writing industry. So it's always good to keep up to date with what's going on.
Because you're a novelist, and yes. I guess you're going to be writing a next novel.
Yes, I've got a novel that's probably 99.5% finished, and hopefully that'll come out sometime this year.
Good one. Any sneak preview of the title or what it will be?
Yes, it's called The Worth of Water.
The Worth of Water.
Yes, and that comes from an old English proverb that says, "You never know the worth of water till the well runs dry." Basically a story about two families who become interconnected because the daughter of one family and the son of the other meet each other and start a romance. And it's basically a story about values, about the value of life, marriage, friendship, money. And at the end of the story, no one ends up where they started out.
Your books do remind me of another novelist's books that is very popular called Maeve Binchy.
Yes, I really like her books.
And I just recently read one by hers, a friend let me borrow, called Night of Rain and Stars.
Oh, I haven't read that one.
Nights of Rain and Stars. Mm. So I quite enjoyed that one. It was about a bunch of people who were trying to escape from their lives to have a holiday in Greece. And they all from different countries, and they all have backgrounds and troubles and things. And they meet an Irish lady with a murky past. And then as you read, they get to know each other and you get to know them.
Yeah.
And you find out how they got to be where they are.
I guess I have a similar philosophy in terms of writing as Maeve Binchy did, in that I'm always looking for scenarios that bring together a bunch of characters.
Mm.
So something that kind of pulls them all together, and then you sort of put them amongst each other and see what happens.
It's like putting people into a room.
Yep.
And then just seeing what happens, drama.
Yeah. Unfolding. Or like Survivor, put a whole pile of people on an island and see what happens.
Yeah. So Maeve Binchy is one of those very popular female novelists that, people really enjoy. And another one, of course, is Jane Austen. And here I've got one I picked up from the shelf in the library called The Missing Manuscript of Jane Austen, a novel by Siri James, who's best-selling author of Lost Memoirs of Jane Austen. So she's written a novel about a novelist.
Yeah.
And there's a whole, for people who don't know Jane Austen, she's a classic writer writing in the Georgian period of England about families, well, middle-class families, written about five very famous novels. And people just love reading about that period.
Yeah, she had a real skill at writing, not just sort of, capturing the period and certainly the vulnerability of women, but also just, I think, the human psyche.
Yeah.
And,
so we recommend that author for those who haven't experienced Jane Austen.
Yeah.
All right, Keith, that's sort of all we have time for. I'm very sorry, but I really enjoyed chatting with you about your books and novels.
Thank you so much.
So I hope readers, if you're interested in Mothering Heights, you can go onto Keitha's website.
Yes, www.keithasmith.co.nz or on Amazon. They're on Amazon, all my books.
And, have a read of them.
Thank you.
Bye for now.